Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode.
It's just Tiff and I.
Jessica Slackin. Yes. Amy's and busy.
Last year we had my mom with us too, and she's not... when I say this, she has not passed away. I was going to say she's not with us this year. And like that, I didn't want that to come out wrong. She is still alive and with us. Praise the Lord. She's just not here to record with us today. And if you follow the podcast at all, then you know that mom is like in and out just whenever she can.
And always love having her.
I know. She's always so got the wisdom, right? And not afraid to also just
tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love it.
I remember one, I can't remember one of the episodes this year. she got to talk on a soapbox of some kind. And I was like, all right, mom, preach it.
Yeah, I loved it.
So
I like that she gives Jessica a hard time with us too.
Oh, she does.
I love that. Yeah.
You know what? Jessica needs it. You know, otherwise she gets a little unruly.
And she just thinks she could boss us around.
I know. She's a bossy pan. And she's number two in line order. She's not even the oldest.
But she acts like she wants to be the oldest.
Well, she'll say, but I'm older than you. That's what she would say.
Oh, yeah. She's always like, you rotten little sisters.
That's right. Plus, you know, you get lumped with the younger three. So, you know, in my family, we have the older three.
Yeah.
And then there's a 3-year gap, and then there's me the younger sisters. And so the older three always think that us younger three got it a lot easier than they did.
Gotcha.
You know, so it was always like, oh, yeah, because you're one of the younger three. You know, so you get looped in with that. So, gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. I like picking on Jessica. Yeah. She's not here, too, so we have to do it a little more.
We do. I hope she's listening. I hope you're listening, Jessica, so you can enjoy this.
As you're cuddled and drinking your tea or whatever.
Yes. Sleeping. She is sick, so I do feel bad.
We hope you feel better soon, Jessica. Yeah.
All right. So what is this one again, the title?
The Inconvenient Christmas.
Okay. Go ahead and read the back of that one.
All right. So Brandon and Amanda are ready for their happily ever after. This Christmas will be a time to share with their little family and maybe experience some much-needed peace on earth. That's when the letter comes, and everything is turned upside down. Nothing is as it should be, and tensions mount. Will they make it through this holiday season unscathed, or will they be torn apart by the time Christmas Day comes?
Da, da, da. I love that. It always sounds so dramatic.
It does, and it doesn't really tell you what is going to tear them apart.
No.
So how do we discuss this book?
Ooh.
Without.
Good question.
Revealing the, I don't know, the letter.
That is tough.
Because the letter has to come from somebody. So.
Yes.
Who sent the letter?
So let's not share who sent the letter.
Okay.
But there's a letter. In case you didn't pick up on that. That wreaks havoc on their happy home because I love this because I know it's a novella, a Christmas novella she put as book two in this series, but it follows Amanda and Brandon. So like you said, it's just a couple years later because they have a little girl now, Louise. Although I feel like later in this series, they call her Lucy, not Louise.
Look.
I'm not sure.
I feel like you're right because I do remember reading Lucy.
Yeah.
In the last book.
And then later in this series, I want to say it's book four. I think it's book four. they're having another baby at the end of that one. Mm-hmm. So it is nice because you get to keep up with the family. But here they have Samuel and.
Yeah, it does say Louise.
Yeah,
it is. Maybe it's a nickname. Lucy's
maybe
a nickname.
It is. Yeah, later on. And then they have their little girl. But everybody else is like, oh, and Cook and Uncle Owen are married now. They mm-hmm. don't. That was never like the wedding or anything was never put in there. They just mentioned that they're married and they were going to do Christmas on their own because it would be their first Christmas mm-hmm. together as husband and wife, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's a very happy home until the letter arrives. And it's only like a day later, isn't it, that then the unexpected guests arrive?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a day or two.
Yeah.
And then, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's family drama.
Lots of family drama.
You get to learn more about Brandon's family a little bit. I feel like Amanda doesn't have much on the, like, her family side.
I don't. You feel like we hear anything about her family side.
I don't think in book two. You learned a lot about her in book one. I say a lot. She shares why she even made it out west to begin with.
Yeah. But not.
Mm-mm.
Not like we do for Brandon's family.
Right. And it is, I don't know, it's going to be hard to talk about it without like giving anything away because.
Let's just say there are some relationships that needed mended.
Yes.
That she does a good job showing how mm-hmm. families can be around the holidays.
Yes, that is great. You know what? That is so true.
But it also shows, I think it showed more to Brandon how he should be a father to Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that really... This book strengthened their relationship and yeah. he grew in his role as a father.
I think in a, as a husband, too. But
yes. I was just trying to think without spilling more of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard because there is someone who honestly is very disrespectful, I think, towards Amanda.
Yes.
And Samuel.
Yes.
And you're kind of screaming inside like, Brandon, why won't you stand up? Then when he's ready to do it, ready to stand up, then she kind of like holds him back.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's upset. That part, I was like, wait, I like understood why she held him back because she was like, you shouldn't like go off in front of the kids mm-hmm. for one thing. And you're going to end up, you're really angry right now. You're going to end up saying things that you regret. But, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Because I'm one that's like, oh, first comment, Brandon should have put that person in their place.
Yeah, I don't know. It is hard for me because I honestly don't have family like that. Like if there's somebody that's disrespectful, we just avoid them. And that's our family's.
Yeah.
Policy on that, I guess. like not like anybody in my immediate family. Like we've had distant relatives that have been, you know, distant,
yeah,
you know, disrespectful of my parents when they were younger, and my parents just, you know, separated and they kept us away from that garbage. So I mean, so that's hard for me, but mm-hmm. it's hard to watch somebody be so disrespectful without wanting to be like, hey, knock it off, or be like. So even at restaurants, you see people like that and you're just like, what is wrong with you?
I know.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're just like.
So there does come a time where you say this is a toxic relationship and mm-hmm. we need to pull away. I mean, it sounds like that's what your parents did
parents.
Some of yours. Yeah. I can't say that. I don't know. I feel like growing up. So my grandpa, my dad's dad.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't take lip from anybody. And he was not a big guy either, but he was like, if anyone spoke anything disrespectful, he was one that was quick to be like, put them in their place.
Good.
Now, dad would do it, but he had to get pushed kind of like Brandon,
mm-hmm.
right? He's one that's like, all right, I think his dad does a really good job of like, and he always said this to us, do not let them get your goat. And I was like, Dad, what are you talking
get
about?
Get your goat.
What are you talking about? He goes, you cannot let them know what upsets you.
Yeah.
Because they're going to use it against you. So Dad would always just be real calm, you know. And he was also like, they're looking for a fight. Don't give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what they want. And I'm like, okay, but it's really hard to bite your tongue sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very, very interesting phone call at work recently with some very terrible, terrible, slanderous things being said. And I had to work so hard to bite my tongue and not get, you know, to go back. But I can remember as I'm like listening to this person just go on and be ridiculous, I was praying, Lord, help me, give me the words. And aww. He was like, just be quiet, mm-hmm. just be quiet. And then there were like three moments where it was like, okay, respond. And then be quiet. Okay, respond. And it's probably the most help I can ever remember in a conversation where I was like wholly leaning on God to say, what do I do? Because I've never had that kind of conversation before. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a conversation.
It's getting screamed at. It sounds like.
And he went on for almost 10 minutes before I was able to just say, we're done. You know? And so, but when I told Derek about it, he was hot.
Oh, I bet.
And he was like, you should never, you know, you should. I'm like, but they were looking for a fight. Like, that's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. They wanted somebody to be combative with them. And I'm like, I'm not going to be combative.
Right.
Nothing you said is true. And I really wanted to say, you need to take a long, hard look in the mirror
mm-hmm.
before you throw this kind of stuff around at other people. But I don't know. So I feel like I'm probably a little more like my dad in that. It's mm-hmm. as far as like, I'm not going to immediately jump in, but there have been moments in my life where I did. And then you regret what comes out of your mouth. Yeah. So I guess I kind of understand why she wrote it that way. But
mm-hmm.
I remember growing up that there was that one neighbor girl that would say things that weren't true. And then her dad would call and like
either
call the parents or call and.
Yeah.
And so she said something about me when she got home and she was all crying and everything. When he called the house, he asked to talk to me. So I talked to him and he like reamed me out on the phone. Well, Dad was like, I got off the phone and I think I was like pale because mm-hmm. I was like a kid. I was maybe 11, 12 years old.
Oh.
And this other dad is reaming me out on the phone. And Dad goes, well, who was that? Mm-hmm. And I told him. And I was like, Dad, what he's saying isn't true. Mm-hmm. It's not true. I told him everything that happened. He ended up calling your dad and saying, can you ask your girls about this thing on the twins? Because I was talking to the twins.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the same thing I said. So then I think my dad got the phone number from your dad because it was a neighbor that was like in between our homes.
Okay.
Okay. And my dad called that guy back. Boy, did he rip him a new one.
Good.
Because he was like, don't you ever call and speak to my child that way again. If you have a problem, you come to me and I will handle it. And I was like, I love you, Daddy. I love you so much. Because I was like shaking. Like,
yeah, that's terrifying. If somebody did that to one of my children, I would be like,
yeah.
Who are you?
And that's not how my parents discipline either.
Right.
Like, I'm not used to getting reamed out. But I was even more upset because I was like, that's not true.
Yeah.
Getting yelled at for something I didn't
not
know.
Not true. Yeah.
So, so I get where she was coming from, I guess. But I was like, Brandon, come on already.
Right? Be a man. Stand up.
They have insulted your wife again.
Yeah.
It made for an interesting story. Short. It was short.
I think it's right around 100 pages.
And
so quick read.
Don't you think it felt like a full, complete story? She did a really good job writing a novella. Yeah. So
I enjoyed it. Very quick, but it had a lot of depth, like you said. Yeah. It was like a full book. Loved it.
I loved it. Okay, let's do our ratings. Here we go. And hopefully, as you read this Christmas story, maybe you read it around the holiday times, it might give you some help on how to handle some of those tricky family relationships, right? Because we've all got them.
Right.
There is no perfect family for sure. All right, let's do mystery.
Mystery in the book,
yeah,
is I say espresso.
I would agree.
The mystery we gave you by not telling you—that's a latte.
I love it. Yes. All right, suspense.
Espresso.
Yeah, there's no suspense.
Other than you don't know who it is.
Yeah, and that's really just because we don't want to give it away.
Right, right.
Like that wouldn't be fun. Okay, mystery, suspense, drama,
a latte. A latte drama.
It is. And you were so spot on at the beginning when you're like, this is family at holiday time. Yes.
I liked your rendition, though, of this is your guidebook, how to handle if you want a fun story to read.
Yes. A quick, fun Christmas story.
Yes. To remember what's important.
Yes. That is very true. How about the romance level?
I don't feel like there was a lot. I'm going to go espresso.
Yeah, I would agree. Espresso on the romance and inspirational level.
I'm going to go mocha to latte because I feel like she did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Because now Brandon and Amanda are on the same playing field when it comes to their faith because she came around in book one. She came back. It's not like she didn't believe at all in book one, but she had walked away because her life had been so difficult. She just felt like, you could care less about me, is what she was. But now they're on the same playing field. So I feel like they both did a really good job of just living that faith out. And she did a good job of writing that. So, all right. Now, overall lasso rating of An Inconvenient Christmas.
It goes 3 lassos.
Yeah.
Hook and hog tied.
All the way through. Because we left out that mystery part for you. Because that dynamic is
interesting.
Yeah, because the whole time you're trying to figure out why.
Right.
So.
Why has it got to be this?
Yeah. Thing? Why do we have to have these difficult family
why
relationships?
Why can't we just all get along? I agree.
We're family. All right. And so that's our Christmas story of the year. So we're going to move on to book 3 in her. What is the name of the series again? That is going to drive me nuts.
Is it The Inconvenience?
It's An Inconvenient Risk series.
Is
the name of the series. But the book 3 is next week, and that is A Less Convenient Path.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.